Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include, absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right. We guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. Podcast time. It is great to have you with us. Al Dukes, what is on your mind today?
Good morning there, Jerry. Well, one of the things, I don't know how it came up, but Boomer was, I don't know if this was even during the break, if this was on the air, but Boomer was talking about chess.
Okay.
I don't know how this came up, what he was reading, but somehow chess came up.
Okay.
And chess is one of those things I have no idea how to play.
Nor do I.
You have no idea how to play.
Nope.
A lot of people don't know how to play. And the thing that I hear about chess is even people that have, my goodness, Jerry, even people who have been playing chess for a very long time still are learning chess.
Okay.
I don't understand things like that. Like, you would think chess has a certain rules, is certain pieces do certain things.
Right.
How are you still learning, like decades after learning chess?
I guess there are so many scenarios that could present themselves. I don't know how. I've never played it. I'm not interested in playing it. No, but I have no interest either. The only way I could equate that, but it's not a great example, would be when you play golf. Every time you play, you see something you probably never saw before, and there's a book full of rules that you may not be aware of. And so at 70 years old, I might still be learning the rules of golf. I guess that's somewhat relatable, but I don't know. I don't know the board game. I don't know the game at all.
Yeah, like, why is it so complicated?
I don't know. So is, like, checkers that complicated?
No, it's not.
You'd have to talk to someone that plays it, and some of these games go on forever.
Yeah, although checkers, there's probably moves in checkers. There's probably strategies to checkers for people who are checker pros that you and I would never do those moves in checkers.
Perhaps.
Because we always just think in checkers. You go, don't move your back row until you absolutely have to move them.
That's
right?
True.
That's what people have always...
I haven't played checkers since I was a kid.
That's what's always been told to me. It's like, you don't move your back row forward until you're desperate to make a move.
Okay.
So, but I bet you if you went to go play a professional checker player, that dude would be moving those back guys immediately, and you'd be like,
I don't know any professional checkers players to ask.
I don't either, but I'm sure there are professional checker players.
There's professional pickleball now, so
right,
why
exactly.
not? Why not? There's professional cornhole.
So there's got to be professional checkers.
I would think so.
But if you know chess, you're perceived to be smarter
than another person. It's a thinking man's game.
Yeah, thinking man's game. Like, somebody who's dumb probably can't do chess.
So I'm out.
Yeah, I think I'd be out as well. But I feel like, how long do you think it would take you to learn chess?
A long time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something you can just read a couple. Like, you can probably figure out Monopoly in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're figuring out chess in an hour.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Is chess like learning a foreign language?
Might be. I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, me neither.
There is a professional checkers draughts league. It's what it's called. So you can do that for a living, too.
What do you imagine would be harder to learn? Chess.
Or a woman.
A foreign language. Or a musical instrument. What order do you think that's a difficulty? I'm going to say guitar or piano. So guitar or piano.
I'm going to go the foreign language, chess, and then the musical instrument.
So you think the foreign language is easiest?
Oh.
Or hardest?
Hardest.
So foreign language, hardest, then chess.
Yeah.
And
here's
musical instrument. Yeah.
And I think this is different for different people. I took Spanish for 7 years. I still don't know it.
I was going to say, you must be fluent.
Not even remotely close. So that was very difficult for me. The reason I say chess second is because I don't know anything about it. I'm not interested in it. And I'm starting from scratch.
Yeah.
The reason why I say the instrument, which is still very difficult, obviously, but why I put it third out of the three is because I at least know beats and sounds and songs.
Right.
I don't know anything about chess.
And you've seen a guitar and piano.
Yeah. So I feel like with the proper instruction, now there's two different things, learning it and becoming good at it.
Right.
You can learn it and be slow, but at least you feel like you're getting it. I suppose you can learn some rules of chess and feel like you're getting that too, I guess. But I think chess would be harder.
Yeah. Plus, think of how many like dumb guys can play the guitar.
I suppose.
Dumb guys.
Well, it's also like some athletes. Some athletes are dumb as a brick, but they're athletically gifted.
Yeah.
So I would say the same thing is probably true for musicians.
But like, I don't think I'm a dumb guy. I cannot figure out the guitar. I've tried so many times.
Probably because you think too much.
And yet some burnout can
because
just pick up.
Because you think too much.
Yeah. Can just pick up the guitar and go.
And then there are probably some great chess players that are brilliant, but socially awkward and dumb.
Yeah.
But might be 10 times smarter than us intellectually.
There are parts of New York City, I believe Central Park has this, where there are chess boards.
Yeah.
And people just...
I've seen that in TV shows.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen it, though.
Yeah, and people will wait at the chess table for an opponent.
Yeah, that... Wow.
Yeah.
No thanks. I mean, if you like that, good for you, not for me.
I got to tell you, if I were a criminal, Jerry, I would just wait for someone to sit down and play chess and rob them. Because they can't...
daylight?
Yeah, because I'd just be like, listen... There's no way you know how to defend yourself. You know chess. Let me just give me your wallet.
Yeah, well, you might run into the chess jiu-jitsu guy.
Ah.
And you get your ass kicked.
Yeah, then what happens?
Exactly. That's what happens.
Howard Stern talked about for years learning chess. And that's why I feel like I know it takes a really long time because he's been talking about playing chess for like 25 years.
Oh, is that true?
And still doesn't feel good enough to play.
So he does play.
People. I think he does play. And people do play online against strangers.
Yeah.
On like these online chess things.
Well, yeah, I could see that. I mean, you play a lot of things online with strangers these days.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you play Madden online. I watch my older son play the show, MLB The Show online.
Oh, against other kids?
Yeah.
Men.
Or men. I mean, you have no idea who you're playing against. And there are some games that are like, they're intense. Like he's really into it. And it's all about the strategy. It's really why I think I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it's true. It's why I think he became a very heady baseball player and a reactionary player when he played. He was never Babe Ruth. I'm not saying that. But he would make plays on the field that you don't think you react to. And I really do believe it's from playing so many different opponents of the show and learning and seeing the game.
That's why people who are really good at Madden
understand football.
Yeah, and think that they could go in there and call offensive plays.
Yeah, well, that I don't believe. But you can understand the game at a different level.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's one thing to do it on a computer screen. It's another thing to be... either on the sidelines or in that booth doing it live with a play clock and really understanding personnel.
Yeah, one thing you definitely get by playing Madden video game football is when you take the full view of the field and you can see how guys end up throwing interceptions that look ridiculous.
Oh,
like,
sure.
How did he throw it? Because you don't see the guy.
No doubt.
it does make it complicated.
The only interceptions to this day I'll never understand were the two interceptions that Neil O'Donnell threw for the Steelers against the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, where there was no one there. And he threw it right to Larry Brown twice. Like, there was no one there. It was almost as if he was colorblind.
I'd have to look at that.
I do agree with you. Most interceptions, forget even looking at it from above. If you ever got the quarterback's view, I don't know how these guys even see over the offensive line in a lot of cases. We're looking at it like a video game on TV.
Right.
They're looking at it in real time. Guys flying all over the place in different directions while guys are trying to kill them.
Yeah, you don't have an elevated perspective.
No, you don't at all. And a guy like, let's say, a Zach Wilson, who's just 6 feet tall, I believe. I think he's just 6 feet. Drew Brees was 5'11". How do you know where you're throwing or who you're throwing to? I know it's to spots. I get that to a certain degree. But there's got to be some vision, too, down the field. We sit there and talk about it and we kill these guys, but God almighty, is it difficult?
Yes, very difficult.
I mean, you did it at a high level playing in that flag league.
Co-ed flag football.
Not easy.
Not easy, no. Especially when girls, they don't know how to run routes. They don't know how to. I was trying to teach them route trees and everything, Jerry. Nothing was happening.
It's funny.
I see there's been like an air traffic controller situation at Newark Airport where there's getting a lot of flights canceled.
They have a shortage.
A shortage of air traffic controllers. But I was trying to read into it because I don't know if I'm reading fake news, real news. Who knows? But one of the things I was seeing on Twitter, I don't know if it's real or not, was that there seems to be some sort of dispute with the air traffic controller union, because something happened on last Monday where the air traffic controllers in the Newark area lost their radar.
Yeah.
And then some of them decided they were going to they needed a 45-day trauma rest. Like, they needed to take off 45 days because of the trauma they felt that day.
Yeah, so that...
I don't know if that's real or not.
I think it is real. So, if you... Again, this is AI, Google.
Yeah.
So, it says 20% of controllers have walked off the job due to chronic understaffing and outdated equipment, according to their union.
Okay.
It says chronic understaffing has been an issue, outdated equipment is an issue, and yes, trauma leave. There have been, it says, a few have left after experiencing stressful situations, including brief loss of radio and radar feeds. But that's just one of numerous reasons why there's the shortage. But that's a reason.
I don't want a shortage of these guys, men and women.
I know, neither do I. Very important.
I want more people up there.
I agree.
And I want the latest equipment.
I agree.
For the longest time, every once in a while, like 60 Minutes or somebody does like a profile. Yeah. Here's the air traffic. And you look at their equipment, you're like, what is this, from World War II? What are we doing?
Are we still in 1954? I agree.
There were some, and I believe this is still in effect, where they have a whiteboard where they put up what level the planes are at so they can glance up to see.
Really?
In addition to looking at the what looks like very outdated radar.
Wow.
It's weird.
That is crazy. Yeah, that's... The one thing that's this, yeah, I hear you.
I mean, can't believe the amount of planes we have in the sky.
Which is a crazy amount.
And the few incidents that there actually are, right?
Well, it's a credit to the profession and how well they've done.
For sure.
What does concern you, though, as you point out, is the shortage. And if you ever look, like, you know, I've certainly looked around for, we always talk about, if we were let go tomorrow, what would we do? So I always look at, you know, job boards and stuff like that. And air traffic controller is one that like is in demand. But there's no way. I can't. Could you imagine if you screw up one day? Like, we have a bad day here. Maybe our ratings go down for the day. Or we say something stupid. We have to apologize. Perhaps we get fired. We'll survive. You have a bad day in that job, hundreds of people die.
Yeah.
No thanks. That's tough, man.
Yeah, and I do not do well under pressure. I would be screaming up there. Where did you see that plane?
Turn. My bad. I gave you the wrong route. Turn left.
No, right.
Can't do that. It's not a car.
Yeah.
They don't turn that quickly.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tough job.
I just see in the short time we both drive past Newark Airport, right? And just in that short time of us driving past it in the morning and in the afternoon, the amount of planes going in and out of there, that's one airport.
Correct. Correct.
And we've got
three
in this area.
How many flights do you think depart daily worldwide?
Oh, man. I don't know, because I remember seeing, I thought it was Delta Airlines, had 4,000-something flights a day.
I believe that.
Right? So, yeah. And then think of all the other airlines there are.
Yeah. All right, you ready for this answer?
That's an insane amount of flights.
This is an amazing number. This is, again, it's AI, but you know where this is coming from, collecting data.
Yes.
This says approximately 100,000 flights take off and land globally each day. So that's take off and land. I don't know if that means they're, you know, it's 100,000 that are taking, I don't know, you know, either way, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Now, that includes commercial, private jets, helicopters, all sorts. But that's 100,000 airborne vehicles. That's nuts. 100,000 a day.
Yeah. Do you think if you were a pilot, you would rather fly a plane full of people or packages for UPS or FedEx?
Probably the FedEx.
Yeah.
Or the UPS.
No pains in the asses back there causing trouble.
Yeah, it's just you and your crew.
Yeah.
I would think. That's a good question. I probably the company one as opposed to the commercial flights.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, I'd rather fly for FedEx or UPS.
I think I'd rather fly private. That seems like a fun, I guess you could have some clients that are really prickly. And
yes.
But I also think you're treated well because they need you. You know, that could be fun.
That could be fun.
I don't think, it is fun. When I was little, like, you know, I always talk about, I always wanted to be a broadcaster. But I will say there was a short time I wanted to be a pilot. But it's brief. When we were just talking yesterday about going to California all the time. Probably around that time, when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I thought it would be cool to be a pilot. But that ended pretty quick. So
What ended about it?
I don't know. I wanted to get into the broadcasting. There's not many things when I was a kid I thought I would do when I got older. It really was broadcasting or being a pilot. I don't think there was anything else I thought about. I mean, starting a business for sure.
Yeah.
I've always thought about that. But in terms of a job, I never really thought about anything else.
I think some of the pilots that come from military, because a lot of pilots come from the military, and then they become airline pilots. And I think some of them get bored because being an airline pilot now is very automatic once all the settings. Now, you have to know what to do if things
Correct.
Go awry.
So you're right about that, but I like to hear that I got a military
Me
man
too.
Or female up in the cockpit because if something goes wrong, I feel like they're equipped to handle it.
Yeah, and if they have to come into the cabin for something to kick somebody's ass.
Well, that too.
Also ready to handle that.
That is true. That's a good point.
I have a pilot now. My sister, her brother-in-law.
Really?
So my sister's husband has a sister. Her husband.
Oh, okay. A little extended.
It's extended?
Yeah, a little bit.
So
that's cool,
he's
though.
A pilot. So I see him at family gatherings.
He's landing right on the roof?
he just, I think he flies for American Airlines.
Oh, cool.
But he was a military guy.
How great is that?
Yeah, pretty cool. That's manly.
Well, when you retire and you buy your private jet, maybe you can hire him.
Okay. I could do that.
Perfect.
Hmm.
You talk about being the cock of the walk in your family. If you hired a family member to fly you?
Yeah. Matt's going to give me a lift to Florida.
No, not give you a lift. I hired him. Like, I'm paying him to fly
me. I'm paying Matt. Of course, I've now drained my 401k. So
for not, one flight.
No money left. Then I was reading, something about, I have, this is the beginnings of this osteoporosis situation here. But it got me into reading... This is a probably a more complicated discussion.
Okay.
But it's just this idea of there are people who trust in everything the doctor tells them to do.
Yep.
And then there are people that don't trust anything the doctor tells you to do because they're paid off by Big Pharma and Big Pharma
wants
everyone.
Which is a big
everyone.
Thing on YouTube.
Yeah, so it's really tough to negotiate the middle of that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I was thinking this the other day. So, you know, I look at, I mean, I reference Dr. Berg all the time, who he seems like he's got great credentials. I like the way he explains things, the way he writes about all the crap he learned that really probably isn't true, that was based on testing that was funded by the wrong people. I get all of that, and I do tend to go along with what he says for the most part. The one thing I always come back to, though, is especially with all this food, and the food stuff makes sense to me. If you're eating real food as opposed to something out of a box, you got to be an idiot not to think that that's not the better way to go. But this notion that, you know, for years and years, red meat caused, you know, heart issues. Now it doesn't. And it was chickens, good for you. No, cholesterol, bad for you. No, now it's good for you again. Like, back then, we went on the data that we had until new, better data has come out. Well, how do we know now what we're doing in 10 years? There's going to be new data that says, you morons. Like, did you really think that was the case? I always wonder, like, why now is it right? As opposed to 1980, when they thought what they were taught in 1940 was ridiculous. And in 1940, they thought what they knew in 1920 was stupid. You know, it does seem legit now, though. I feel like maybe we've gotten to the bottom of stuff. But I'm with you. Like, where is the line of extreme one way, extreme the other? I guess that's where we have to make our own decisions and kind of meet in the middle on some stuff.
Yeah. So, like, the osteoporosis thing I was looking at. So, when you have osteoporosis, they want you to take a drug. Mm-hmm. There's two different brand names. I think it's Fosamax is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I could be getting it sounds close to that.
Okay.
So they want you to take on that drug, but that drug had a lot of side effects. I did not go on this drug.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
But then you read, and it's like, oh, okay. The DEXA bone scan machine was made by the drug company, given to places for free, so that you then go get your bone scan, and now you need the drug. So you just see things like that, and you go, is this true?
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so, yeah.
Slimy. That's what
it is. The studies, like you said, it's like the red meat is bad for you. Well, okay, so, or the fat is bad for you versus sugar. Then you find out, oh, the sugar industry paid for that study. Did they? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. That's why I think we take the information we have now, and I think you make the best decisions you think are for yourself. I think we now know you've got to be a moron to think smoking's not good for you.
Right.
Or to not think that. All right, so we know that that's got to be out. And I do believe a lot of why we look younger now than our parents and our grandparents did is because the far majority of our generation, if we smoked, we did it when we were young and we stopped when we were young, and it has not caused significant aging appearance-wise. So we know that. I think we know if we have a lot of fruits and vegetables and good, healthy meats, I think we're okay. And I think we also know that white bread turns to sugar, and I mean, those things seem to be pretty set. I don't know how you would argue those. But there are things, here's where I'm confused. One person you respect online or a doctor you respect tells you to eat oatmeal. Over here they tell you that's crap. Over here they tell you have whole wheat bread. Over here they tell you any type of bread is garbage. Eat oats. Don't eat oats. Eat grains. Don't eat grains. Holy crap. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, aside from the meats, the fruits and the vegetables, and plain Greek yogurt seems good. Other than that, it seems like stay away from everything.
But then there's also
the Mediterranean diet.
Well, the fruits and vegetables, if you don't get organic, they're all sprayed with pesticides.
Right.
Right. And the organic is also sprayed with pesticides, but a different kind that's not as harmful, so they say now.
Yeah, it's really, and then you'll read, don't drink alcohol. That will kill you prematurely. You see people that are 104. What's your secret? I have a shot of bourbon every day. What?
I know.
How does that make sense?
It's so annoying. So I had sent this this osteoporosis article that I was reading but to both my sisters.
Okay.
Who also have dealing with a version of that. And my one sister went back, oh, this guy's anti-pharma. Okay, maybe. I don't know. Or is he right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Could be both.
Could be both.
Yeah.
But like she went through, my younger sister, she's been in the clear for over 10 years now, but she had all these different cancers that she got through and everything. But when she was going through chemotherapy, she's like, everyone was telling me, no, all you need to do is drink lemon juice and it'll cure your cancer. So you get all those things. Everything's in the mix.
Yeah.
So you got these wacky ideas in the mix. Doctors telling you to do something that will help. Big pharma trying to get everyone on one medication. It all is in there. And like you said, you now have to interpret everything.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's, I think the things like lemon juice and eating your green, all that stuff, I think that stuff's preventative. I don't like when I read or see people doing videos on this will cure your blank.
Yes.
That's where I think it, because here's the issue with that. If you're wrong, you're gone. Like that's just kind of the end result. Like if you're really going to trust in holistic medicine, if that's the right word, and the fruits and the vegetables and the lemon juices and the cayenne peppers and all this stuff, and it doesn't cure you, you end up getting to a point where it's too late for the medicine to work. Like there, I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, medicine's all bad. It's not. I mean, if it wasn't for penicillin and antibiotics, a lot more of us would be dead probably.
Sure.
You know, Boomer has talked about the drug saving Gunner's life and changing lives. There's a lot of good that is done in a laboratory, and there's a lot of good pharma. But boy, there's a lot of everyone's in it for the dollar. And that's where, how do you know which is which?
Right.
You know, I mean, my doctor put me on a statin so fast. And I, like a sheep, I took it. I took it for about, you know, a few months. And then we went to Princeton Longevity and we're looking at the, I've since gone, my cholesterol levels are fine now. I changed my diet too, but I'd still be on that statin. Like last time I went, he's like, why are you not taking it? I'm like, 'cause I don't need to. Who said? Well, I went here and the last time I got checked, my cholesterol numbers were good. And he's looking at me like I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
And then for a couple of them, the statins and like the bone density medication, they don't know, supposedly, that if the medication changes your score or actually changes what's going on in your body.
And that's scary.
Right. Does the statin lower your cholesterol score but not actually do anything to your cholesterol?
Right, because is the statin actually clearing your arteries and like,
or is it just doing something to the test that changes your number? Who knows?
That's a great question.
So annoying.
Yeah.
Can't we get a real answer from somebody?
The only way you get a real answer is to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't have 8 years to go to school to learn stuff.
Mm.
And then who knows what they're even teaching you?
Correct.
It's another thing. Like if you don't do the work yourself, how do you really know?
Yeah, I've seen different things, even like that nutrition, like when you go to nutrition school,
yeah.
The schools get funded by like Kellogg's and
nothing.
Sugar is a crap.
How about the fact, I always love this too. I'm all for you. I make money and you want to endorse some things. That's fine. I've done it too. But how about when you get like these world-class athletes endorsing Frosted Flakes?
Yeah, I know. The Kelce brothers, those punks.
It's so interesting to me. And again, doesn't mean you can't eat them. Of course you can eat them. But that can't be your daily diet.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's funny. I don't know. I do believe as long as you don't go crazy with anything, you'll ultimately be okay. I think you can have a bowl of Frosted Flakes once a month. It ain't going to kill you.
Right, but no one does. People don't do
right.
that.
Right. It becomes every day. That's the problem.
So, yes.
Whatever.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. We'll be back here tomorrow on a Wednesday. See ya!